Welcome to Gateways Podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from Pastor Don Brock. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
Today is a different kind of day. This is our Compassion Sunday that we do every couple of years. And this is a ministry that Gateway has chosen to be a part of years ago. One, because we have tremendous confidence in what they do. I have been on several compassion trips. First time I was exposed to compassion was in the country of Uganda. And we were there with a group of pastors, and I just was blown away. I said, wow, this is an amazing ministry. I love what they do. And so we kind of started taking baby steps before we jumped in with both feet to make sure we understood this ministry. And we examined them, we checked them out, we checked their financial records, their credibility. And since then, we've been all over the world with compassion. I've been on two trips. We've taken two trips with Gateway people to Bangladesh. And that's where I sponsored one of our kids that Mary and I sponsor. And he actually just aged out this past year. And then Mary's been to Ethiopia, and we sponsor two kids there. And then we have Gateway. We've been to Peru. We've been to El Salvador. We've been to one other place. But we've been to lots of places. And everywhere we go, we see a consistency. We see a consistent system of how they do things. The accountability is extremely high. And they do everything through the local church. And that's something that I appreciate, that they do everything under the authority of a local church, because they not only want to impact the individual, they want to impact the entire family. And when they have a club that starts working with the individual kid, eventually they have an impact on the entire family, and often that entire family become believers and are engaged and involved in that local church. And so I just like the foundation of the premise of it and how it works. And the accountability is so high that if they find things that are not right or funds are being mishandled, they shut it down. And they hold their feet to the fire and say, no, you're not doing this right. And then they will take those kids and they'll move them to another project. And I appreciate that level of accountability, because there are a lot of groups out there that are just nothing but scammers. And I have absolute confidence in compassion. In fact, they have one of the best ratings that you can get. When you look at the how much money you put in and you look at how much they keep to run their operations, it is one of the smallest percentages of any ministry out there that's working with children. And so I appreciate that kind of accountability. And so even now, I want to tell you to go ahead and start thinking about it and praying about it, because at the end of this service, we're going to end about 10 or 15 minutes early, and you're going to have an opportunity to go and choose a child that you believe that God may be leading you to. And we are starting a new area that we're wanting to work with, and that's going to be the Dominican Republic. And so we'll have a lot of kids available from the Dominican Republic. But if you have a compassion for a different part of the world, we have also children from Asia and from Africa. And this is a one-on-one relationship. You know, the packages we have, it's the only a package that exists for those particular kids. So there's not another church that has those same kids and they're getting four or five sponsors for one kid. It's a one-to-one relationship. You would be the only sponsor for that child. And so I want you to even now begin to pray, Lord, if you want me to be a part of this, I pray that you'll start speaking to my heart, and that you will guide me to that to the person, the child that you would want me to influence, to have an impact on. So today, to help us to really understand what we're doing, we have two very special guests. And to introduce our guest, a local person who's involved in compassion, I've asked Bill Jones, it's one of his best friends, to come and introduce him.
Thank you, Pastor. It's my privilege to introduce Tobin Castles. Publicly, you may know of him or his family. He serves as the president of Southeastern Freight Lines. He's third generation. His grandfather started the company, and they're now the largest and, in terms of quality, the best LTL, less than truckload, carriers in the Southeast United States. But those of us who know him privately, let me give you three characteristics that jump out to me. So you'll remember the great commandment, the great commitment, and the great commission. In terms of the great commandment, Tobin loves God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I was just thinking, just sitting there, of these three characteristics, two of them are very manifest this morning in our congregation. First, early this morning, before the first service in Modular 303, I've been taking a group of men for the last year through this little resource, a little notebook. It's to help men and women grow in their walk with God, helping us get to know Him more intimately and make Christ known more broadly. And Tobin was instrumental in putting this notebook together a dozen or so years ago. And we've seen hundreds of men in the city go through this resource. Great commandment, he loves God. The great commitment, he loves his family. I have so many videos in my brain of how Tobin cares for his sweet wife, Pat. And I want to care for my wife, Debbie, just like he cares for Pat. But every day at lunch, he meets with, during the week, Monday through Friday, when he doesn't have a standing commitment like a Wednesday Bible study that we co-teach, he meets with his dad. His dad's 89 years old, and he loves his dad. And he just wants to show his dad, we're family. I'm committed. It's a great commitment. And then the Great Commission. We tend to go to one extreme or the other. We want to always see people come to Christ, faith in Christ. So we think evangelism. There's another end of the spectrum that says, no, we need to grow them up in Christ. There's discipleship. Very few people have the whole package. Tobin Castles does. There's a man sitting in our congregation this morning who came to faith in Christ in the last few months because of a ministry Tobin started at their business. He loves to see people come to Christ. When his son passed away 4 years ago, May 22nd, 4 years ago, dozens and dozens of 20-somethings came to Christ as a result, and he led a Bible study for several years with those people that came to Christ. And not just that, but then we've been teaching Bible study together for 14 or 15 years. He's different. He's a role model. And it's a privilege to introduce him this morning. Please turn your attention to this video.
My name is Tobin Castles, and I've been a member of Shannon for about 18 years. And our family has been involved for Compassion International about that same amount of time. We sponsored a number of children from Haiti. One of those children is a gentleman named Marc Francois. Marc Francois is a 25-year-old Haitian. He's from a rural village in northwest Haiti, who I had the privilege of sponsoring in the Compassion program. And I first met him a year after he graduated from the program. He graduated in 2014 at age 21, and my family took a trip with Compassion in October of 2015 to go see the whole experience. Took my daughter, her boyfriend, my nieces and nephews, their spouses, and my brother-in-law. And so we all went down and were able to meet him at age 22 in October 2015. Two things about his youth growing up. The first thing that he was blessed to have was a very close Christian family. He actually accepted Christ at age 9. He got in the Compassion program at age 3, so he was being discipled through all that. At age 15, he was preaching in the Compassion Club meetings. And at age 17, he preached for the first time in the church. The second thing you need to know about him, though, is extreme poverty. Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and he came from a rural village in northwest Haiti. The only way to get income for his family was gardening and farming, if you will. Very difficult. They lived in a small two-room house. One room was where the kids lived, the two sisters and a brother. The other room was where the parents slept. no running water, no power, no kitchen, obviously, no bathrooms. They cooked on an open fire on the ground outside their house. Very, very difficult economic situations. One of the biggest obstacles they have is affording education. 85% of the 1st through 12th grade in Haiti is private schools. And so it costs money to go to private schools, and they simply didn't have it. So many of the children, like Mark, would drop out of school very early and would just help with gardening and farming. Mark was fortunate to be in the Compassion Sponsorship Program. And the Compassion Sponsorship money paid for his education. It paid for his school supplies. And they put a big emphasis in the program to stay in school, get your education. So one thing that happened when Mark graduated from high school, he did so well, he was able to compete with 3,000 other Compassion kids in Haiti for one spot in college. And to go to a four-year degree in the best university in Port-au-Prince, and he won that. Mark's passion is education. He got his four-year degree in education, and he wants to impact his country and help encourage young people to get their education. That's his passion, and he wants to honor God in the process. A few weeks ago, George was preaching on Acts 1:8 about that we're to be Jesus' witness in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This is a very practical and tangible way that we all can be involved in the ends of the earth part of that. If it had not been for Compassion, Mark would not have stayed in school. He could not have afforded it. If it would not have been for Compassion, he would not have been discipled and be as spiritually mature as he is. And, you know, I like what Compassion's mission statement is. It's releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. And you know, it doesn't get any better than that. It's just a great opportunity.
Well, would you welcome Tobin Castles to Gateway today? Thank you, bud. Well, Tobin, you know, I know you're involved in lots of ministry. Y'all are involved in Oliver Gospel. You've heard of Toby House. That's named after his son that is helping rescue women from their issues. So tell me what drew your heart to Compassion. Why did you even get involved in Compassion?
Sure. It was really two reasons I would have to tell you. The first was it was just a great way to impact the life of a child who's born into poverty through no fault of their own. And you have to think about this a little bit. You know, we don't choose where we're born. We don't choose where our parents are. And so it was a way to help a significant impact, but not just by sending them money. It was, as you know well, it's about developing a relationship where you're writing letters, you're encouraging them, you're sharing scripture with them, and be able to tell them, I love you, even though I've never met you. And all that goes with that, sharing pictures, and you see them growing up for 10, 15 years and see their pictures. So it was just it was a great way to do that and to have an impact. There's one more thing about that, too. Once they're in the Compassion program, that means they're going to the Compassion program every week. And you know by doing that they're getting discipled and Christ is being shared with them. So even not just your influence, but you're getting them in a program where they're growing as a Christian. So that was the first reason. The second reason was a little more selfish. To be honest, it was to help with the spiritual development of my family. It's true. And it was most people don't live like Americans do. And most people don't have what Americans have. And so we can live in a little bubble. They're thinking that this everybody's like we are, and it's not. I heard a statistic that I thought was pretty good the other day. It said if you have $50,000 a year in income, you are in the top 1% wealth of the world. Now you think about that. Wow. You're the 1%er if you've got $50,000 of the world. And so I need to be reminded of that. And I need my children to be aware of that. And so we sponsored a child for each of our four family members. And so the idea is to be engaged and develop that relationship and to see what goes on in the other part of the world. So those were the reasons.
So it's way beyond just giving money every month. It's an investment in your own family's life, and that's awesome. Yeah. Now, when y'all visited on the video, when you visited Haiti and you visited Mark, What impressed you? What struck you?
Yeah, I'll tell a couple little things. One thing was he asked me how many languages I spoke, and I said one. And he said, why? And he speaks fluent Creole and French, and he also at age 18 could read and write English, even though he couldn't speak a word of it, and he could read and write Spanish. So I'm like, that's something there. Why? Why do you only speak one language? But the first time I met him, literally the first time I met him, he got off of a six-hour bus ride from northern Haiti down to Port-au-Prince, where I was, and he got off with a little backpack because he's going to spend 3 days with us and had a little clothes in there. And within the first 20 minutes, he told me, he said, every letter you've ever written is in that backpack. You know, and I said, wow, you know, that he's carried them with me, you know, with him. And so that told me that our relationship was very important to him. And it also told me that the letter writing part of this is very important. And I think perhaps more important than I ever realized, to be honest with you. And it kind of made me wish I'd written more letters, you know. But then we traveled together for 3 days in our bus. And he went to all the different villages that we would visit and the different projects, the compassion projects. But when we got there, he was actually would speak publicly to the kids in the project. And I'm talking about 150, 200 kids at a time. I'm not talking about 10, 20. I mean, this is 150, 200 kids. He's speaking through a microphone, like I am right now. He's standing up, and he's talking to them about, it's in Creole now, I couldn't understand it, but he told me what he was speaking about. He's talking about the importance of staying in education, getting your school, don't drop out, the importance of working hard, the importance of developing your relationship with God. Now, we couldn't understand what he was saying, but we were watching the body language, and it was incredible how they were hanging on every word he spoke. And because he was their role model. You know, he was a 21-year-old, 22-year-old man at the time, a college graduate, well-spoken, obviously a leader, and it just spoke words to me. And then the last story I'll tell you is the last night we were there, he spoke to our whole group through a translator for a solid hour, literally an hour, and he told his whole story of his life, what he'd been through, but he also talked about his visions and his goals and his desires to honor God in the future, which you're going to hear about from him in a minute. But I also won't tell you more about that.
Well, and I just tag on to that. Every time I have visited any of the kids in Compassion Projects, and if one of our church members is sponsoring that child, I'll say, is there anything you want me to tell your sponsor? And they will say, that's the one thing they say, tell them to write more letters. You know, it was far beyond the money. It was like, I want a relationship. Just write more letters. And then you also would get letters back from Mark. Right. And there was one particular letter that spoke to you. And will you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I love. Yeah, Mark wrote better letters to me than I wrote to him. I'm gonna be honest. And again, I'm not sure I fully appreciated the importance of these letters. But this is a letter, my son died in 2014, so this is a letter he wrote to me after he found out my son had died. But I share this because it's, to listen to the maturity. Now, this is now he's probably 22 years old at the time, 21, 22, writing this letter back to me. And it seems like to me this should be a letter written from a 50-something-year-old to a 20-something-year-old. But here's what he wrote. This is a one paragraph of the letter. I'll try to get through this without choking up a little bit. But sometimes we experience hardships in life and we are tempted to believe that God forgot about us. We may believe that God does not love us anymore. Yet his love for us is as wide as Jesus' arms open at the cross. And the tender compassion of our Heavenly Father is more reliable and durable than the love of a mother for her nursing child. Rest assured that his love, his help, his peace will never fail you. Do what the righteous Job did. Glorify the Lord for this. Because in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So what you seem to be a misfortune now is for your good. Otherwise, know that it would not have happened. Glorify the Lord and trust in him. Thank him in all things. You can consider some of these things as bad, but we know that no harm overtakes the righteous. Proverbs 12:21, and you are righteous. Romans 3, 21 through 26.
Wow.
Yeah. And let me say this.
Amen.
Yeah, thank you. He wrote this in English. He couldn't speak a word of it. But he could read and write English. This was not translated. This was his writing in his third language in English. Yeah.
So a 22-year-old in a foreign language to him, minister to you in your darkest days. Wow. Well, I don't know if Tobin and I can take any more, so we better bring Mark up here. So, Mark, let's welcome Mark to Gateway today. God bless you. Mark, we are just honored that you're here with us and to share your life, and we appreciate this very much. When you met Tobin for the first time, and he'd already been sponsoring you for a while, but when you met for the first time, what dream did you share with him that you had?
I remember I told him I'd like to become the Prime Minister of Education for Haiti because I believe that education is the most powerful weapon that can help a country to live from poverty. And my goal is to help my country, my people, to live from poverty.
Amen. That's amazing. And then this is why, you know, he's already been to college, and you're at the University of South Carolina now.
Yeah.
And you're doing your master's degree and in higher education.
Yeah.
And then you're going into the PhD program. And all of that for the purpose of going back to your country.
Yes.
And making a difference. That's
yes,
amazing.
Yes, I want to go back and make a difference.
I think even our Clemson fans are going to pray for you and be excited for you. That's great. All right. So tell me, what impact does compassion really have on a child when they receive a letter from their sponsor?
For compassion children, when they receive letters from their sponsors, it's like, I would say it's a big deal. Because letters have great influence, great impact on their self-esteem. Because they know there is someone.
On their self-esteem?
Yes.
Wow.
Because they know there is someone that loves them, that believes in them, that prays for them. And I wanna give you a secret. If you just send gift to your kids and never send letters to them, they don't really consider you as a sponsor. I said that just to tell you how much they value the relationship they have with their sponsors through letters.
Well, I hope you just put a lot of us under conviction who have sponsor kids now about upping their letters. And in fact, tell us what it was like to be a child sponsored by Compassion. What was that like?
Being a Compassion child is a great opportunity, and requires us to go to school every day, to go to church every week, to perform well at school, to do community services, and to go to Compassion Club every week.
Wow. Now, you actually have a letter that Tobin wrote to you.
Yeah.
Will you share part of that with us?
Yes, I want to do that. Before reading some sentences in that letter, I want to share something about his letter.
Okay.
For my case, when I receive letters from my sponsor, it's like a blessing from God, because I always found something that encouraged me, that inspired me to keep going and to follow my dreams. And the most important thing is I found is his letters. He can remind me that there is someone that understands that my situation wasn't my final destination.
Wow.
And I want to read two sentences in one letter that he sent me. God could use you to do amazing things as an ordinary person, just like Timothy. I am convinced that God has great plans for you to be a light in your country.
Amen. Wow. And so those kind of words just spark the dream that you have.
Yes.
For going back and doing what you believe God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Just as for those who don't know, tell us what some of the benefits are for a child to be in the Compassion program.
I want to mention four main benefits that we've received as a compassion child. First, compassion teaches us the good news of the gospel and surrounds us with mature Christians, which help many of us to become spiritually mature. Second, compassion prevents us from many diseases because they teach us healthy habits, and also they give us the opportunity to have medical checkup at least once a year. Mm. And third, compassion pay off schools and give us school supplies. And I would say compassion teaches us life skills such as team management, stress management, empathy, effective communication, and so on. And those topics help us to deal with people around us without too much problem.
Wow, that's massive. That's huge.
Yeah.
And you received those benefits.
Yes.
And I know you want to encourage us to help other kids receive those benefits. So what would you like to say to our people about choosing to support a compassion child?
There are many kids who are hopeless, sick, and out of school. They need your love. A simple act of kindness can change and save their life. I encourage you to share the good news of the gospel, the love of Christ through compassion across the world through compassion by making a difference in the life of one kid.
Hmm. That's great. Did you get that challenge? You know that you can make the difference in the life of one kid who can go back like this kid that grew up and change a nation.
Amen.
I mean, how great is that be? I mean, you know, to have the courage in your third language to do a master's degree and a doctoral degree, I can't begin to imagine that. And to have the courage to do that so that he will be positioned to go back and make a difference in thousands and thousands of kids' lives. That was a well worth investment. An investment of not just finances, but investment of time and energy and letter writing. And so you just see how this has all come together from just a single relationship through compassion. And so I appreciate that challenge.
Thank you.
Well, let's thank Tobin and Mark for being with us today and sharing their story. Thank you very much.